The following is a paid advertisement for Aisha Carr for Cherry County Attorney. Aisha, how are you today?
Good morning, Mike. I'm doing good. Loving the cool weather and the rain.
Certainly feels like a change in the weather, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm very grateful for the rain, as I'm sure everybody is. I wish we could send it down south a little bit to help out with the fires.
Yes, well, we don't get to pick where it goes or when it comes and that kind of stuff, but we'll take a quarter of an inch of rain, all the, and maybe more. Hopefully get a little bit more out of there. But I thought maybe this would be a good opportunity to get to know Aisha a little bit, because you've been in the community for quite a few years, though, right?
Yes, I moved here in November of 2013.
So 9 years you've been a member of Cherry County community.
Yes, a member of the community. I moved here, and then I moved to Todd County, and then I moved back here.
So do we want to mention that you're married to Cactus Carr?
Yes, so I am married to Cactus
people
Carr.
People know Cactus, and so so everybody out there wondering, well, I wonder how, now we know. So let's talk a little bit about your background. Where were you born and raised at then?
Well, I was raised in Taos Pueblo, New Mexico. It's a tiny little reservation in north central New Mexico in the Rockies. I actually have a unique background in the fact that I grew up in a mud home with no running water or electricity, and I made it from there all the way to being an attorney and having my own law practice. I lived there until I was about 12, and then kind of moved around. I went to boarding school for most of my high school, eventually graduated out of Santa Fe High in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then for college, I went to the University of Mexico and also in Texas, and then law school in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's a big jump from New Mexico to Texas to Wisconsin. That's a climate change, isn't it, for law school?
It is a climate change. One of my great ideas, I don't know how great it was, but one of my ideas for my future when I was young was to get to know different areas of the country. I didn't want to get trapped into a bubble, and I felt that if I went around and learned and experienced different areas of our country and saw different things and different ways of thinking, that it would shape me as a more fuller person. And so I specifically chose Wisconsin out of the schools I was selected for the fact that it was very different than anywhere I had ever lived. And that proved to be very true and very cold.
Very cold. You had to buy a whole new wardrobe, I'm sure, to get,
yes,
get through there. Well, so then you continued with that idea of moving around to some different places. You've been in several different places and experienced different cultures and ideas.
Yeah. One of the jobs I had was in Nairobi, Kenya. That was phenomenally interesting. That was during law school, and I learned so much from just going to Africa. Just everything about that experience really helped shape me as a person and made me more aware of certain things. It was very different to be there versus our own country. I also worked in Alaska. I was general counsel there for for a $45 million or so company in my 20s. And that company provided all types of different services, basically, you know, roads and head starts and all kinds of different programs. Mm-hmm. So as general counsel, it was my job to oversee all of that as far as the legal issues were involved. I also worked in Nepal, which was a different experience as well. In Nepal, you'd be surprised, but due to their culture, cows are sacred, so they're allowed to roam the streets and
right.
highways,
yeah.
and they can sleep on the sidewalks.
Not like here.
No. And then I pursued, I moved here to pursue a job with the Rosebud Sioux Tribe as the attorney general, and I did that for some time. And then I decided that I wanted to start my own office and work for myself and better the community. I saw that there was a gap of legal services in our county and surrounding counties, and I wanted to try to fill that gap. Rural America is really suffering from a shortage of lawyers, and especially affordable lawyers. Mm-hmm. So I opened my office, and it's a little bit unique compared to probably my colleagues here in town or in other counties, in that I have payment plans and different things are set up so it's more affordable for people to access the law. I think everybody should have access to the legal system and a lawyer. So I really try my hardest to make sure that I can do that for the community.
Now, your office is currently at the Cherry Street Plaza on Cherry Street, just a few blocks down from the radio station here, kind of around the corner. The former Ullman Building Center is where your office is at now.
Yes, yes. It's now currently our main street until we get our main street back.
That's true. That's true. So do you have a special focus in the law over the years? Have you kind of garnered in on children or corporate, or what's your main focus, I guess?
I think that I have, during the years, I focused a lot on constitutional law and certain jobs. While I was general counsel for the company in Alaska, I did a lot with child abuse and neglect cases. It was a very unique situation there because there were no roads, so everything had to be flown in, flown out. And when it comes to children and parents and getting them to where they need to be and resources that they need to have in order to be a solid family is kind of complex.
Right.
Nowadays, in my private practice, I do everything from adoptions to child abuse and neglect to criminal defense to civil rights. I have various different areas that I practice in. I don't do complex estates. I'm not interested in that. I'm more interested in the things that affect just your normal person, everyday person.
Well, you just recently had done a class, I think, on some of those kind of things at the college last week.
Yes, right? I did. I did a class on wills, but it was simple wills, just the kind of type of wills for just a person like me, something that I would need, and something that a normal person would need in our community, and also about, you know, durable power of attorney, something you need for the hospital, those types of documents that are necessary for everybody to have, and a lot of us don't have them.
Yeah, those are easy things to put off and,
mm-hmm.
and not worry about that kind of stuff. And then when something happens, you're like, oh, gosh, I didn't prepare for that, I guess.
Yes, yes. You think about writing your will on a post-it note you find after you tripped and fell or something.
So you've been in all these different areas. How do you keep up with the laws of those areas? Because, you know, federal law in the U.S. would be federal law, would stay the same, but Alaska has different state laws, Nebraska, South Dakota. How do you have to keep up with what the state laws are when you're in that state? That'd be difficult, I would think, anyway.
Well, thank gosh for technology, because right now I work in approximately, I'd say, 6 to 7 counties in 2 different states and 3 different jurisdictions. Jurisdictions meaning different set of laws. So I have 3 sets of laws, and then the federal law that I often have to deal with, that's 4 sets of laws that I have to keep straight in my head. But I run at Mach 20, and I'm in court 4 to 5 days a week, sometimes in 2 different states in the same day, and I just make it work. I guess it's just not a challenge.
Do you have to ever have to call in backup? calling somebody that has more experience? If you practice a wide range of things, inevitably it seems like you'd run into some things that maybe you're not that familiar with, that you'd have to call somebody and say, hey, I need a little information, or I need a little help with this or that.
Yeah, I mean, if I do need backup, there's plenty of colleagues that I can call. Some colleagues, you know, they'll know the something specific about the county I'm working in and how to work with the court clerk or something like that, that maybe they can give me advice on. Sometimes if the case is too large for just the office of me and my assistant, then, or the issue is too complex or not something that I specialize in, on 2 occasions, 2 or 3 occasions, I've called in co-counsel for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned county attorney. You're running for county attorney. What made you decide, after being in the community for 9 years, that this was a position you wanted to seek out?
Well, people, as soon as I opened my office here in Valentine in the summer of 17, people tried to encourage me to run for it. And I believe there was an election then in 18. Mm-hmm. at that time, it was not a consideration at all for me. Over the years and witnessing how the justice system works in Cherry County as it pertains to the prosecution of criminals, lack of prosecution of child abuse and neglect cases, and other things, I saw why people were asking me to run, and it wasn't a decision that I took lightly. I thought about it for over 2 years before I finally decided that this was something the county needs. The county needs change. The county deserves better, and I think that I can do better. So I chose to run, and here I am.
So how come you didn't file in the primary, and then you would have been on the ballot instead of a write-in? It's hard for a write-in campaign. You got to really work twice as hard at a write-in campaign. So why not file in the primary to get your name on there?
Yeah, running a write-in campaign is definitely challenging. The reason is because in order to run for Cherry County Attorney under the laws, you have to be a resident of the state. So though my office was here for 5 years, I resided across the state line in South Dakota. So technically, though, everything in my life revolved around the town of Valentine, mm-hmm. As it pertains to grocery shopping, mail, everything was Valentine.
Sure.
I was still a resident of South Dakota. So when I finally decided this is what I was going to do, I should have made the decision earlier because I decided to do it in January. And apparently that's when the housing market decided it was not fun for buyers. And there wasn't a lot of options to purchase houses here. So it took a while to find something that was suitable for the family and purchase it. And hence, I missed the deadline to be on the ballot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the duties of the county attorney? What would you change in the office? What do you see as things that need to be improved upon, I guess?
There's a lot of things that need to be improved upon. In no particular order, I would definitely have my office be more transparent to the public, more accessible to the public. I think that the county attorney has an obligation to the county to inform them what's going on in their county and not just hide in their office or in a courtroom. And I think that that is very important. Running this campaign, I found out how little our county knows about what the county attorney really does, and what they think the county attorney does do, the county attorney doesn't do. So basically, the county attorney is supposed to defend and prosecute on behalf of the state and the county all lawsuits, civil or criminal, that arise under the laws of the state of Nebraska or where the state or county is a party or interested. And for crimes that's not happening, in 5 years, my opponent has only had one trial, and that was for a misdemeanor crime. Meanwhile, we have heavy drug crimes coming through our courts that are going through with plea deals. We have cases with pedophiles that are going through as plea deals, dropping and dismissing charges when they shouldn't be dropped or dismissed. It should go to trial. I think that there needs to be more litigation in our county for certain cases. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everything needs to go to trial. Plea deals are a good option in certain situations, but not all. And what we're seeing here in Cherry County is everything is a plea deal no matter what. And I also think that certain crimes are going through with a very lax sentence, you know, a fine of $1,000, a slap on the wrist. The person's not going to stop doing what they're doing. We also don't have in our county resources to help our people. Prosecution of crimes to me is not just about punishing people, but and making them understand that there's consequences for your actions if they violate the state laws. But also, I think sometimes people need help to be that better member of society that we want them to be. And we don't provide those resources here. We should. So those are some things that I think need to be changed. I also think that we cannot ignore our children like we have been. Our children become adults, and if we don't protect them when they're young, then what are they going to be as adults? And the circle will just keep going and keep going and keep going. Mm-hmm. And I think as residents of this county, we owe each other that duty and respect to protect our children. And if we can't do it together and we need the help of the courts, then we need the courts to step in and help. And that's not happening right now.
So a follow-up question on something you said, Aisha, about lax sentences. Is it the county attorney doesn't make up a sentence, do they? Is that the judge or a jury's decision on what a sentence is on something? You can make recommendations. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But I watched shows on, which makes me almost an expert, right?
Yes.
But no, isn't it the judge that comes up with a sentence on those?
It is. At the end result, it's up to the judge what the sentence will be. Even in a plea deal, you can come up with an agreement, and the judge can always change it. But we have lackadaisical recommendations. Sometimes the county attorney doesn't even have a recommendation. We'll stay silent at sentencing. And I don't believe that that's correct. And I don't believe that a lot of the crimes where people are just getting fined $1,000, and then I think I would do things different.
So does, in a county situation, you're in a small community and those things, how much does common sense come into play in some of these things? Is there room for that in the judicial system? Where is it black and white, or can you say, well, this kid maybe deserves a break because they haven't been here, you know, they're not in here in my office every week, something like that, or is there common sense? Can you play? Does that play a role in being a county attorney?
Well, I think obviously common sense plays a role in, or should play a role in our daily life. What I see now is that there's unequal prosecution, and there's discrepancies in who gets a slap on the wrist or who gets a break and who doesn't. And oftentimes it seems to be, or most times it seems to be, based on the individual's economic status, their race. I don't agree with that. I think it needs to be fair and equal across the board as to when you should be lenient and when you should not. Now, there's obviously situations where you'd say, oh, this was just a one-off. This person is not normally like this. Something mm-hmm. must be going on in their family. Jail is not what's going to work for this person. So what will work for this person? This is a unique situation. And when you get a person that has a similar type of unique situation, but they're poor or they're different, they should get that same opportunity that person A did. So I would really like to see more equal prosecution, fair prosecution across the board here in Cherry County.
Okay, well, we're running out of time pretty rapidly here, but we're visiting with Aisha Carr from here in Valentine as a write-in candidate for county attorney. Will be on your November 8th ballot, and the name is A-I-S-H-A, right?
Yes, it is.
Carr, C-A-R-R.
Yes, and okay. Everybody, you need to fill in the bubble and write Aisha Carr on the line for Cherry County Attorney. And I did want to remind everyone, Mike, that I know everyone is excited about this race as it's the first one in 20 years, but please remember the words you say and the social media posts you make can unintentionally hurt your neighbors. Stay classy and stay respectful, because regardless of who wins, in the end, we all still are neighbors.
All right. Well, we're going to get a chance to visit with Aisha again here down the road. She's going to be back with us here. I can't remember the next date, but sometime about the ballots coming out around the 19th, we'll be able to visit with Aisha about that and get more in depth into some of these and follow up on some of these. But Aisha, thanks for coming in today. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
And the preceding program has been paid for by Aisha Carr for County Attorney.